Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 137. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Hymn number 137. Scriptural this morning will be given by Suzanne from Vermont.
I shall read from Psalms. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace.
Let's now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the repetition of the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook.
Our Father,
which art in heaven.
Our Father, Mother God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 142. Immortal love, forever full, forever flowing free, forever shared, forever whole, a never ebbing sea. Hymn number 142.
Oh,
Good morning and welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin every Sunday morning here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, which is a training session in Christian Science, something we all appreciate. And we had another really good one this morning. So if you missed it, you can catch it on our website, plainfieldcs.com. And you can also find it on our YouTube channel. We have a Sunday school for children that meets every Sunday at 11 a.m. And that Sunday school has its own teleconference phone number. So if you don't live in the area and you have a child of Sunday school age, call us, we'll give you the number, and we'd love to welcome your child to our Sunday school. And little Stephen is here right now. We have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives saved through the study and practice of Christian Science. And at all of our services and meetings, we have a nursery for infants and toddlers, so they can all join us. And we are going to have a meeting of the members this month. It will be held on Thursday, May 20. It's about 1.5 weeks from now. So mark your calendars for members, Thursday, May 20th at 8 p.m. here in New Jersey. And for the members who do not live close enough to join us in person, the meeting will be held over our teleconference number, so you will be able to call in to join us. And as a result of that, the regular Thursday watch that evening will not be held at 9 o'clock, but it will be held at 10 o'clock. And we'll remind you when we get close. That's Thursday, May 20 at 8 p.m. And the next Bible study will be 2 days later after that, be 2 weeks from this weekend, May 22nd. So check the website for the Bible study questions and join us in about 2 weeks, on Saturday, May 22nd. And as many of you already know, we have a lot of websites in many different languages. And we are very grateful for those of you who translate articles, books, and the lesson from English into all of those different languages. It enables us to reach people really all over the world with God's Word. And for that, we are very grateful. And we do it all without charge. Everything is free on all of our websites, which is why we are also grateful to those of you who support us financially in this important cause. And I would like to point out another article on our English website that, it's just a really good article entitled, "Man's Perfection is Real and Unimpeachable" by Duncan Sinclair. So if you've ever had doubts about whether your perfection is real and unimpeachable, read this article. Really good. Everyone is welcome here. And that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we will have the reading of a testimony from Miscellaneous Writings, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Dale from Virginia.
I was a helpless sufferer in August 1883 and had been so for many years. The physician said I had cancer of the uterus. I heard of your book, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures, bought a copy, began reading it, and a great light seemed to break through the darkness. I cried aloud in joy. This is what I have been hungering for these many years. I studied it closely and healed myself and several of my friends before I had taken instruction of any teacher. Mrs. S. A. McMahon, Wyandotte, Kansas.
The lesson sermon for this morning can be found on page 12 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: Adam and Fallen Man. The golden text is from James. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The responsive reading, Isaiah. Be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy.
And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying.
And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them.
They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands.
They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them.
And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear.
Florence will now read.
I will read from the Bible, Psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Genesis. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, and breath, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou givest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Proverbs. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Ephesians. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. 2 Corinthians. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. 1 Corinthians. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
I will now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. God fashions all things after his own likeness. Life is reflected in existence, truth in truthfulness, God in goodness, which impart their own peace and permanence. Love, redolent with unselfishness, bathes all in beauty and light. Man, made in his likeness, possesses and reflects God's dominion over all the earth. Man and woman, as coexistent and eternal with God, forever reflect in glorified quality the infinite Father, Mother, God. Man is not made to till the soil. His birthright is dominion, not subjection. He is Lord of the belief in earth and heaven, himself subordinate alone to his Maker. Life is, always has been, and ever will be independent of matter. For life is God, and man is the idea of God, not formed materially, but spiritually, and not subject to decay and dust. Deity was satisfied with his work. How could he be otherwise, since the spiritual creation was the outgrowth, the emanation of his infinite self-containment and immortal wisdom? The great mistake of mortals is to suppose that man, God's image and likeness, is both matter and spirit, both good and evil. Genesis 2, verse 6. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. The second chapter of Genesis contains a statement of this material view of God and the universe, a statement which is the exact opposite of scientific truth as before recorded. The first record assigns all might and government to God and endows man out of God's perfection and power. The second record chronicles man as mutable and mortal, as having broken away from deity and as revolving in an orbit of his own. Existence separate from divinity, science explains as impossible. This second record unmistakably gives the history of error in its externalized forms, called life and intelligence in matter. It records pantheism, opposed to the supremacy of divine spirit. But this state of things is declared to be temporary, and this man to be mortal, dust returning to dust. The name Adam represents the false supposition that life is not eternal, but has beginning and end, that the infinite enters the finite, that intelligence passes into non-intelligence, and that soul dwells in material sense, that immortal mind results in matter, and matter in mortal mind, that the one God and Creator entered what he created and then disappeared in the atheism of matter. Evil still affirms itself to be mind and declares that there is more than one intelligence or God. It says, "There shall be lords and gods many." I declare that God makes evil minds and evil spirits, and that I aid him. Truth changes sides and be unlike spirit. I will put spirit into what I call matter, and matter shall seem to have life as much as God, spirit, who is the only life. This error has proved itself to be error. Its life is found to be not life, but only a transient false sense of an existence which ends in death. Man was not created from a material basis, nor bidden to obey material laws which spirit never made. His province is in spiritual statutes, in the higher law of mind. Above error's awful din, blackness, and chaos, the voice of truth still calls, "Adam, where art thou? Consciousness, where art thou? Art thou dwelling in the belief that mind is in matter and that evil is mind? Or art thou in the living faith that there is and can be but one God and keeping his commandment?" Until the lesson is learned that God is the only mind governing man, mortal belief will be afraid, as it was in the beginning, and will hide from the demand, "Where art thou?" This awful demand, "Adam, where art thou?" is met by the admission from the head, heart, stomach, blood, nerves, etc., "Lo, here I am, looking for happiness and life in the body, but finding only an illusion, a blending of false claims, false pleasure, pain, sin, sickness, and death." Whatever indicates the fall of man, or the opposite of God, or God's absence, is the Adam dream, which is neither mind nor man, for it is not begotten of the Father. Truth has but one reply to all error, to sin, sickness, and death: dust, nothingness, thou art, and unto dust, nothingness, thou shalt return. As in Adam, error all die, even so in Christ, truth shall all be made alive. The mortality of man is a myth, for man is immortal. The false belief that spirit is now submerged in matter, at some future time to be emancipated from it, this belief alone is mortal. Spirit, God, never germinates, but is the same yesterday and today and forever. Mortals must gravitate Godward. Their affections and aims grow spiritual. They must near the broader interpretations of being and gain some proper sense of the infinite in order that sin and mortality may be put off. This scientific sense of being, forsaking matter for spirit, by no means suggests man's absorption into deity and the loss of his identity, but confers upon man enlarged individuality, a wider sphere of thought and action, a more expansive love, a higher and more permanent peace. The relations of God and man, divine principle and idea, are indestructible in science. And science knows no lapse from nor return to harmony, but holds the divine order or spiritual law, in which God and all that he creates are perfect and eternal, to have remained unchanged in its eternal history. Entirely separate from the belief and dream of material living is the life divine, revealing spiritual understanding and the consciousness of man's dominion over the whole earth. This understanding casts out error and heals the sick, and with it you can speak as one having authority. Through discernment of the spiritual opposite of materiality, even the way through Christ truth, man will reopen with the key of divine science the gates of paradise, which human beliefs have closed, and will find himself unfallen, upright, pure, and free. We will now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 162. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. It matters not what be thy lot, so love doth guide. For storm or shine, pure peace is thine, whate'er betide. Hymn number 162.
It matters not what be thy lot, so
Well, let's now sing hymn number 181. Loving Father, we thy children look to thee in fear's dark night, while the angels of thy presence guide us upward to the light. Hymn number 181.
I will read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passages from 1 John 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Amen.